are in Jesus, a planned community for Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 5 through 10. Before our message, let's look to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you today knowing that righteousness exalts a nation. Lord, we pray that we will learn the lessons of history, that our nation might return to God. We think of a nation now, Lord, that has been far from God, France. We pray, Lord, for their people during this time of tragedy, Lord, being attacked. We pray, Lord, that you will heal that land. We ask that many might come to Christ through this time. Pray for the families who have suffered loss. Pray that you'll comfort them. And pray that our focus might be in the right place on Jesus. Help us now, Lord, as your planned community for your Son, Jesus, that we might honor you and please you in all things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you had a choice of anywhere on the planet, where would you live? Where would you live? Let's start with a continent. I want you to raise your hand. If you select a continent, raise your hand. How about Asia? Anyone? Africa? Anybody? I love Ghana and West Africa and Liberia. I wouldn't mind that. That'd be great. How about South America? Australia. Australia. There you go. Any island. Fiji would be nice this time of year. Yes. Antarctica. Antarctica, the frozen chosen. North America. Anyone? North America. Okay, good old USA. You know, Hong Kong high rises. Anyone would like to go there? Anybody? Can you imagine living in one of those buildings next to another building just like it? And that's all they have in Hong Kong. I mean, it's just thousands and thousands of people, and hope the elevator works that day, right? All right, how about the state? Now, this one you're just going to have to shout out. I have a map up there where you can just pick out a state. Anyone? How about a state? Just shout them out. California. Anyone? You want to pay $5 a gallon for gas? Anyone else? Kansas. Tornado heaven. Anyone else? Texas. Alabama. Georgia. Georgia. How about for Georgia? All right. Good. It's a peach state. All right. What kind of home would you like to live? Single family. Townhouse. Condo. Apartment. 55 and older. Assisted living. Nursing home. Cardboard box. All right. What kind of development? HOA or non-HOA? Fees or no fees? You know, when you get a picture taken, you're supposed to say cheese. And I always say pretend you're a lawyer and say fees. How about a planned residential community? Like this one in Dubai. How many would like to live in Dubai? Anybody? Yeah. Planned residential community. Do you realize that through the blood of Jesus Christ, that all of us are going to live one day in a planned residential community? It's going to be gated, yet there'll be no HOA fee because Jesus paid that price at the cross of Calvary. That planned community is heaven, and we have heaven waiting all who know Christ as personal Savior. You ever gone house hunting? Anyone ever go house hunting? You ever see signs for open houses and you're not interested in buying, but you just go anyway? There's places that have $600,000 houses, and on Sunday afternoons from 2 to 5, they have open houses, and you just go in there to see how the other half lives, right? Is that what you do? And then you come back to reality, and it's not so exciting anymore. How would you like to pay their mortgage? God went on a house hunting trip for you and for me, and through his eternal carpenter son, Jesus, who was trained by Joseph down here on planet Earth, we're going to get the best house in the best place forever. The house found for us by God. And it's going to be in heaven on streets of gold. And we won't have to worry about reality because it's going to last forever. And I'm so happy, aren't you?
Amen.
No mortgage in heaven. Now what about that place in heaven? What about that place where all believers are going? Well, Peter has something to say about that. If you have your pen or pencil handy, just write these down. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 4, heaven's going to be a place populated by children of the king. If you're a king's kid and wearing a king's ring, There's a place on Heavenly Way with your address. We live as sojourners and exiles down here on earth, but one day we're going to have a permanent home in heaven. Children of the King. We're not going to be old anymore. We're not going to have aches and pains. Your back problems are going to be permanently behind you. That's right. No more illness, no more pain, no more death, only Jesus, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 2, 5 through 10, it's a planned residential community that awaits us in heaven. It's a community of praise. Community of praise, populated by children, a community of praise. And we're going to so appreciate what Christ did for us at Calvary. We will be content with praising Him forever. Now here's what Peter said beginning in 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are built up, literally edified, encouraged, and strengthened as a spiritual household, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, as the prophet said in Isaiah 8, 14 and 15, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And they stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy." Did you notice in this passage the words that God uses to describe Bible-believing, Bible-behaving, word-centered Christians? Actually, he uses these words of all Christians. But I just threw those other descriptive phrases in because all of us are supposed to be Bible-believing, Bible-behaving, practicing Christians, word-centered for the Lord. Amen. Now, what did Peter do to describe us as believers? Well, he used all these words, and the first is living stones. We're living stones. We are quarried out of a pit of sin, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, added to God's spiritual household, connected to and representing the cornerstone who is Jesus. We are his individual house of worship. We are rocks for the rock, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, next time you look in the mirror, just say these words to yourself: I'm a rock for the rock, who is Jesus. Hey, let's rock today, right? Amen. Yeah, that rocks, doesn't it? You also are living stones, 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Now, how many of you have ever seen a building? Raise your hand if you've ever seen a building. All right, some of you who did not raise your hand, and there are some that did not raise your hand. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look up. Look around you. That is what's called a building. All right? Okay. Now you've seen a building.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you go outside and you look down the street, there's other buildings. You go downtown Atlanta, you go up north in New York City, you're going to discover that there are some buildings there. Well-built buildings, and they have foundations. By the way, bigger the foundation, usually the better the building. And around the foundation, they're going to have something called a cornerstone. And a cornerstone is the stone in the corner that ties the ends together. These are important, write them down. They tie the ends together. It's a stone on which the structure rests. It's a stone on which construction date is often written. And it's definitely the alignment stone that the entire building is aligned to that stone. So if a building is out of alignment, it's probably going to fall down, right? It's not going to be a safe building. I think we've all been in buildings like that before. But Christ has established a building for God. It is his church. He is the foundation of that building. And because he's the foundation, he's also the cornerstone. Amen. And you and I rest in Jesus. You and I have a cornerstone in which we are to be aligned. And that cornerstone will tie everything in our lives together. And I think that's an advantage that we have over the unsaved world. And yet even believers like to find their cornerstone and align themselves with something or someone else other than Jesus. And it could be anything from popularity or position or pedigree or pleasure or avoidance of sacrifice or pain. It could be society, it could be sin, it could be culture, it could be our background, it could be our nationality. Well, I'm this or they're that, so we have an excuse. We have no excuse if we align ourselves to Jesus. He, not that, he, not they, he, not me, not you, he is our cornerstone. Align yourself to him. Now, if you've chosen to align yourself to anything or anyone other than Jesus, you're out of alignment with God. And if you've ever driven a vehicle out of alignment, you know that you want to head this way, and your vehicle wants to head that way. And sometimes you get in this rut, right? You get in a pattern, don't you? Yeah. A rut's just a grave with two sides kicked out. You get in a pattern, and you're driving down the freeway, and your vehicle wants to go off this exit, right? Because it always goes off this exit, but God wants you to go straight. He wants you to arrive in heaven in one piece and properly aligned. Now, cornerstone's also a unity term. So line up your life behind Jesus and we'll all line up together. If you want to be a fortress of faith, be aligned properly with Christ. Now let's discuss this term, cornerstone. It appears elsewhere in Scripture. What do we know about Jesus, the cornerstone? Isaiah 28:16, jot that down. Isaiah 28:16, navigate to the text. We discover Christ alone is the foundation stone, the cornerstone on which our life stands. Therefore, thus says the Lord God. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. Thus says the Lord God. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed, and he who believes in it will not be disturbed, disappointed, deceived, or led astray. Place your confidence in Christ. Isaiah says he is the rock. Stand on the rock. You may tremble on the rock, but the rock will never tremble under you. Stand on the rock, not sand. He's not going to get blown away. If you want stability for your life, line yourself up with Jesus. Let him be the foundation stone of your life. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Psalm 118:22, we're told that Christ is the favorite stone. He's a foundation stone, Isaiah 28:16. He's a favorite stone of the majority of people in society on this planet. Is he or isn't he? He is not. He's not the favorite stone, but he ought to be our favorite stone. Now the context of Psalm 118:22 is a building of Solomon's Old Testament temple. Those of you who have been over in Israel, you know that they quarried the stones near Jericho, and about 17 miles away, they'd haul them up that little road there between all these gullies and valleys and everything, and they'd get it uphill to Jerusalem, and there on the Temple Mount, Solomon was supervising the work, but he didn't supervise it well enough because when they quarried the cornerstone, they piled it up there with the rest of the stones, and they had a big old stack of stones. And picture these boxes of stones, and they would pile them high, and they were all carved out exactly correctly, and there was one stone that just didn't seem to fit anything else. So the stonemasons and the builders, what'd they do? They just rolled it down the side into the valley below. And in the Kidron Valley below, the water came there for 7 long years, and no one understood as the weeds grew, and as the stone was neglected and rejected, not even remembered, that this was the one that's supposed to tie the building of the temple together, the sanctuary, and we're sanctuary saints. And so when they decided to look for the cornerstone, they said, how come no one quarried the stone? And finally someone remembered that down here in the valley, neglected by indifference over 7 long years, they went down and discovered this unique stone fit exactly into the corner of the temple. And we've seen that cornerstone over there in Jerusalem. Christ is neglected today. Christ is rejected today. And there are many that have been indifferent to Jesus Christ. Well, I would venture to guess that over there in the European country of France, people today are shaking their fist in the face of God And yet the French Revolution was an atheist revolution. It was not a revolution based on Christianity, as was the United States American Revolution. And for over two centuries, they have been rejecting, neglecting, and being indifferent to God. And then terrorism strikes. God forbid it strikes America. That's a wake-up call to the world today. Not just politically or nationally, but it's also a wake-up call spiritually. Don't you agree? And we need to pray for those people that God will comfort them, right? A God that they have rejected and neglected for years, may that God come back into their lives. And may those people be open to that God of their lives. And may they return to that God of eternity. And may it never happen again, whether in France or in the United States of America. Our hearts go out for those people. And we need to pray for them. Psalm 118:22, the Bible says, "The stone which the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone." See, Israel rejected God too, and they had the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. And it was as if God gave up on them, but He did not. He never gives up on people who give up on God. And we can return to God as well in America today. Hey, when it comes to Jesus as a cornerstone, write this down: one size fits all. One size fits all. I don't know how I can go to a department store and they have a rack that says one size fits all. I mean, look at me. One size may not fit me. May fit you. Look at yourself in the mirror. One size fits all? That seems impossible, but God's the God of the impossible. Jesus fits you. Fit into Him. Align yourself to Jesus. And then we have 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice, a chosen cornerstone, costly, irreplaceable cornerstone. He's placed and fitted at all the right angles, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed or lacking confidence. He will not be deceived or led astray. He's our foundation stone. He's not the favorite alignment stone of society." But in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, He's fitted for every person who comes to Him by faith. Believe in that stone. Believe in that rock in Matthew 16:16-18. Simon Peter wrote this passage, confessed Jesus as God. He is our confession stone of joy. But in Daniel chapter 2, 34 and 35, to the unbelieving world of our day, He's going to be the crushing stone of the nations. He's going to be the stone of judgment. It comes and smashes the nations that disrespect or don't believe in God. Who is Jesus Christ today to you? Is He your confession stone of joy, your cornerstone? Is He going to be the crushing stone of judgment? Come to Christ by faith today. Accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, if you look at the building around you and you go outside, you're going to notice the buildings that were built about 50 years ago were mostly built of brick. How many of you in Georgia live in a house that has brick? You have a brick around, and you know they say, is it four-sided or three-sided brick? And you always want a four-sided brick house in Georgia for whatever the reason. You know, our church building is brick. And how large are the bricks? Are they huge or are they small? And the bricks are individual, but they're mortared together, aren't they? We are individuals. And in Christ, we're mortared together by faith. Now, these bricks are small and they're red, aren't they? And red's the color of blood shed by Jesus Christ. You know, my dad, when he was 14 years old, worked in a local brickyard. And he took a Heinz variety of bricks out of the oven and the kiln. And I've got a collection of them at home. And some are round and some are not round and they're rectangular. Some are even square. Interesting, as a 14-year-old, that the government didn't come in on his parents, right? I mean, back in the day, we worked, didn't we? I remember putting in lawns when I was 15 years old with a shovel. Didn't have any electronic or gas-powered equipment, just put in lawns and sowed the seed and did the straw and did the whole works just by hand. And I didn't know how much seed to put down, and I've been back there since, and they got the best lawns in the neighborhood because I overdid it on the seed. It's just thick, thick, thick. They probably mow the lawns every 3 days up there in the summertime. Too bad for them, right? Yeah. How many of your kids work 14 years of age? You kidding me? You want me to do manual labor? Well, that's just too much. I might get tired. Oh, too bad, right? Yeah, we need a little bit more work in America. I mean, after all, I mean, when we went to school, it was 5 miles both ways and uphill too, right? Both ways. Yeah, we put in our time. And they didn't use modern bricks back in first century times. They used stones. And the stones were fitted into walls so the building could stand against attack in the weather. And Paul described these stones in Ephesians 2:19-22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're citizens of heaven, with the saints and members of the household, the building of God. Get the picture? Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, their teaching, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. Don't venerate Moses or Elijah or anyone else. Only Jesus. And whom the whole building, verse 21, being fitted together and aligned, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being built up together for an indwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God has fit us as a church, so we must fit into Christ. And so the Bible says we are living stones or living bricks for God. Now, this one's going to really tax your mind, all right? This is a tough question. It's even tougher than have you ever seen a building, okay? This one's tough, all right? Shout out the answer. How many bricks does it take for someone to say that you live in a brick house? How many bricks does it take? Does it take one brick or does it take many bricks? How many vote for one brick? Okay. No one here is a few bricks short of a full load, right? Okay. So how many say many bricks?
Many bricks.
Many bricks. Okay. Now, what's the worth? There's another question. What's the worth of one isolated brick? What good is one brick? Anybody? Tell me what you use one brick for. One brick. Now, some of you when you're growing up, you probably threw it through a window, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. One brick. One brick. My mom used to take one brick, right? And she'd cover it with cloth. I remember 1776 cloth, and I'd use it for bookends. And all my bookends early on were cloth over bricks. And they're heavy, aren't they? How many of you line your garden with bricks? Anybody? Anyone? Yeah. Joan, I bet you use one brick to line your, one brick only, right? No, you have to use many bricks. One isolated brick isn't worth much, is it? Not much, okay? I mean, my mom did the bookend thing, but you couldn't tell it was a brick, right? So it wasn't even identified as a brick. It was hidden, disguised as something else. What's the message? What's the message being living stones, plural? Alone, as believers, we're not worth much. Independent and alone, not worth much. Interdependent, together, we are worth much. Did you catch that? So if you want to isolate yourself just as an individual brick, God's not going to use you that much. He'll use you a little. All right? You can be a doorstop or a bookend for God. That's about it, right? But you want to line a garden for God? You want to be part of a big building for God? You want to be attractive for God? Then start working together in unity, because that's a cornerstone message too. Cornerstone ties us together. The bricks, interdependent. We are worth more. Together, we can do more. Praise the Lord that we're bricks and stones in the building of God. I like the story out of ancient Sparta about the hoplites, and those were the names of the soldiers. We've all heard of the 300 Spartans stood against the Persians at Thermopylae and Marathon, and they made some movies about that story, and a Spartan king invited another king from another city or country to come and visit Sparta. And the king was standing outside his city, and he told the king, he says, I want you to look up and see the walls of Sparta. And the king scratched his head and politely said, there are no walls. There's no walls. Sparta has no walls. And the Spartan king then pointed to his people who were standing around the city. He said, these are the walls of Sparta. Every man a brick. In the fortress of faith called the Church of Jesus Christ, we are the bricks. We are the walls. And if the wall is in ruin, then we're in the days of Nehemiah. But we need to be in good repair. We need to be properly aligned. And we need to be built up for Jesus Christ. Be a wall for God, a brick standing on Jesus. And God uses living stones, not dead ones. Praise the Lord for God. Hey, winter's coming, right? How many felt the chill today? Anybody? All right. Has anyone not turned on your furnace yet? Raise your hand. One. Okay. Two. All right. We did not turn on our furnace, but my son did. So that was a couple days ago. I was wondering why I was a little warm last night. But how many have a fireplace? You have a fireplace? How many have ever built a fire? How many have ever seen a fire? Good. All right. These are not trick questions. Now, if you put one log in your fireplace, what good is that fire going to be? Can you even start the thing unless it's a fire log, right? Yeah. You can't even hardly start the thing, can you? In order to have a good fire, what do you need? You need more than one log, don't you? Yeah. And the logs have to touch each other in order to work together to build a flame. Right. If we're out of touch with each other, no flame, no heat, no fire. As living stones, as many people, get together, touch each other, work together, be unified in God, and let Jesus light a flame in Pine Lake Baptist Church that the entire community can see. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Now, we're rocks for the rock, who's Jesus. Number two, we're a royal priesthood. We're representatives of God. We're holy and we're set apart. 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9. We're to minister together. We're not to be churches within a church. We're to minister as one together. Verse 5, we are a spiritual household of faith. And at verse 9, we are a royal priesthood. Now, what does a priest do? What's a priest do? Well, he sings Gregorian chants and he wears flowing robes, right? And he's Catholic. No, we are priests. A priest is one who has direct access to God. That's what a priest is. In verse 5, we offer up, read it, we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. We make sacrifices, don't we? A lot of people are out for pleasure and popularity and the avoidance of pain. But God wants us to sacrifice and surrender to Him. We're to sacrifice our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the fact that Christ died on Calvary, you present yourself a living sacrifice. A dead sacrifice. God's tired of dead sacrifices. That's religion. God wants a relationship. He wants something that's alive. That's you and me. See that? And isn't that just like Paul to use the same word living that Peter used of living stones? Living sacrifice, living stones. We're to have a little vitality in our lives and get alive for Jesus. He wants your life. Number two, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. He wants your livelihood too. As believers in Macedonia first gave themselves and then they gave to the Lord. Look, a sacrifice is one thing, but some of us need total surrender, don't we? Amen. We got to surrender ourselves to God. He wants your livelihood. He wants you to attract others to Jesus. I know the Bible says go, and that's what we're supposed to do. But if we're going to go with the gospel, we need to have something to go with, don't we? Be like Jesus. Then Hebrews 13:15, sacrifice of our lips too. He wants our life, our livelihood, and our lips. He wants us to talk about Jesus, but do more than just talk. He wants us to live it. Isaiah 43, 23, and 24, here's what they were like in the Old Testament. Here's what many are like today. God said of his priests and his people, you've not brought me sheep in your burnt offerings. Neither have you honored me or shown me value with your sacrifices. You've not brought me sweet cane with money. Neither have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. But instead you burdened me down with your sins and wearied me with your iniquities. And God is saying we stand before him one day at the bema seat of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to present to him a bad life. He doesn't want us to present to him a bad lifestyle. And he doesn't want us to present to him lips that have been evil. He He doesn't want us to go and say, hey, God, I've lived in sin, and so I'm here, and take me into your heaven. He doesn't want us to present ourselves that way. He wants us set apart from sin and properly aligned to Jesus. As God's chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, He wants us to be special and given praise because we're called out of darkness into His light. Who are we in Jesus? Here's who we are. Jot these down. I'm not going to spend long on any of them. We are God's spiritual household in 1 Peter 2. Hebrews 3:6. Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are. Name a name of an architect. Is there a famous architect you can think of? Anybody? You know, this guy goes around, he builds all these buildings, and you live in one of those buildings, and you say, well, this building was built by so-and-so, and everyone knows his name, right? Yeah. The architect of our lives is a forever architect. His name is Jesus. There is never an architect more famous than Jesus Christ. Allow Him to build your life. Take your hands off the construction process. Take it off the project. Give it back to Jesus. We are His spiritual household, His sacred sanctuary, His spiritual house. We are a temple for God. Who are we? We are a chosen generation. Chosen generation. Deuteronomy 7:6-8. Deuteronomy 7:6-8. You are a holy, set apart people by the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the earth. And that was Israel in Old Testament times. But guess what? 1 Peter 2. God's chosen us now as a church. That must have been hard for the Jew, the Hebrew, Simon Peter to swallow. Hey, God, I thought you chose us. Peter, remember that day where you had ham on your breath and the blanket came down with all kinds of bacon and everything else on it? Remember that, Peter? And you ate it? You had the ham sandwich, Peter. Right? Peter, I've got a new thing going now. I haven't put aside Israel forever, but now in the valley between the mountains, first and second coming, I got the church. And today, Peter, you're chosen twice. Once as a Jew. Secondly, as a believer in Christ. And you and you and you and you and me were chosen by God. And I'm happy about that. God wants me as a brick in His building, and I'm willing to be there and have His name stamped upon my brick. And then number three, we are God's holy or separated nation. We are God's holy or separated nation. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Now, in the language of the original, the Greek, the word nation is actually the word race. R-A-C-E. We are a new race or people of God, unlike society. And we're set apart to Jesus, God's separated people. Exodus 19:6, and He sets us apart today. Now, in the world today and in America, I know that we have races. And people say, well, I'm white, or I'm black, or I'm red, or I'm yellow, or I'm brown. And over 41 years of ministry, I have worked with every single race. Every single race, and every race comes in and says, look, we got our culture, and I'm going to obey my culture rather than Christ. And it's not limited to white, to black, to red, to yellow, or to brown. I mean, I've heard it from every single one of these five races. And it's not like one race is any better than any other race. Guess what? 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's what God said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are not just one of those five races. God has created another race, race number 6. We are part of the 6th race that few people even ever think about. And that race is the race of Jesus Christ. We are a holy race, literally, in the Greek. We are race number 6. And that means at the foot of the cross of Calvary, guess what? If you're white, or you're black, or you're red, or you're yellow, or you're brown, praise the Lord for your background. But that all just blends in together at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, we are the race of Jesus Christ. And it's the culture of Christ that counts. We all bring in culture into our experience, don't we? White or black or red or yellow or brown. We all bring those cultures in. But those cultures need to submit, rank themselves under the culture of Jesus Christ. We have a new culture and a new race. And we're to run the race of the Christian life under the authority of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why we can blend together. That's why we can be international as a church. Because this is just a little taste of heaven. Praise the Lord. And I would hope that it never becomes a taste of the other place, right? We need to be a taste of what's above, not below. We need to be a taste of heaven. Praise God for everyone. And then we're a special people. We're God's people. We're His own possession, acquired for a price, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:14, paid by Jesus Christ. You have a mortgage today. You pay rent on your property or building. Guess what? There's no mortgage payment, and there's no rent to pay in heaven. Christ paid it all. Jesus paid it all. We've been called out of darkness into light. The marvelous kingdom of God, Colossians 1:13. And we have a new address on Heavenly Way. We're king's kids, wearing a king's ring. We're royalty, and children of the king need to act like members of the court. We're holy. And Peter put that in because that word holy qualifies us to be servants of God. It qualifies us to serve if we're set apart to Jesus. Now, I got one more word I'm going to describe. And I know that maybe some of you are thinking, my stomach's growling. Maybe I need to go and eat some food. Here's some spiritual food for you. I want you to write this one down. I'm going to talk about briefly the word priest. We're a royal priesthood. Now, there are several words that are used in the language of the original, translated priest. But here's one that we probably don't know about. This word for priest speaks of a bridge builder. Write it down. We are bridge builders. That's the priesthood. See, a priest is someone that what? Stands between a sinner and the Savior. Stands between society and God. Stands between hell and heaven with a message of redemption. He builds a bridge between this person who is lost and this place of salvation. I know that we've all traveled across a bridge. And you go out to San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge, and many of us have traveled over that. You go down to Tampa and that Sunlight Bridge. And you go to New York City, and that's all you have is bridges. And it just connects. The Brooklyn Bridge, right? Yeah, the Brooklyn Bridge. And it connects one side to another side. You know the side we're on right now? Without Jesus, we're lost. That's the side of hell. But the side we want to go to is heaven. And the bridge is the cross. And the bridge is the message of the gospel. And as God's priest, since the physical presence of Jesus is not here today, but we are here as His salt and light in the earth. We are the bridge that connects the sinner to the Savior. We are the ones that say, here, walk this way. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. Amen. Build some bridges every day in your life. Be the priest that God wants you to be. Provide access to the Father, Romans 5:1 and 2. Give yourself for God. Be the bridge. Be the bridge that people can travel. Be the highway to God, the highway to heaven, and point people to Jesus, to the honor and glory of God. Connect people to God through the gospel. Yeah, a man and his wife were watching several stonemasons, builders, doing work in a great cathedral, one of our largest cities, and they were pounding out, chiseling triangular piece of stone, and husband said, what are you going to do with that? That's a little different than the rest. And the workman replied, see that little opening way up there near the spire? Yeah, well, I'm just shaping this piece of stone down here so it'll fit in up there. Hey, what's God doing in our lives today? You going through some trials and tribulations? If you are, this is for you. You can write this down too. You see as living stones through your trials in life? What's God doing? He's merely shaping you down here so that you will fit in up there. Praise God, we're living stones. As living stones, let's make sure we're properly aligned to Jesus, molded and made by Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before You thanking You that we've gotten a reminder that we don't belong down here. We're redeemed. We're citizens of heaven, ambassadors of Christ. Help us to be holy, set apart people, a new nation, your own race of people, Lord, Christians, believing priests. Lord, if we've forgotten who and what we are, I pray today that we might appreciate that we're children of the King, and that whatever's happening in our life right down here on earth to us daily is just to prepare us to fit in up there in heaven. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm wondering today, is there someone here who's never asked Jesus in your life as Savior? And you'd like to do that right now. Are there any? Slip up your hand. If you'd like to do that today. There may be others who have forgotten that we belong in the building and that we're not some little isolated brick just laying on the side, growing weeds, indifferent, neglected. We can't say to God, here's my sin-filled lifestyle. I'm giving it to you at the Bema Seat. I'm presenting that back to you. God wants us to present something good and holy and alive. You need prayer on your commitment on your daily life and lifestyle to God. Are there any? Slip up your hand. I'll just pray for you. No one's looking around. Slip up your hand. You want to act like, live like a living stone. Are there any? Don't be dead to God anymore. Don't be indifferent to Him. Be alive to Him. Are there any? Alive to Him. Let Him be your passion. I see this hand. Praise the Lord. We'll pray for you. Are there any others? Let Christ be your passion. Are there any? Are there any others? Our Father in heaven, we pray for these who have looked up and have prayed and have lifted their hands. We thank you, Lord, that we can be living stones. Help us to renew our commitment, our vigor, our energy, our enthusiasm, and our passion for you. And Lord, in a sense of unity as a community for Christ, help us, Lord, to fit together and be aligned to the cornerstone who is Jesus. We want to be a great building for you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.